following audio is from Gold Country Baptist Church in Shingle Springs, California. Visit gcb.church to find more resources and to learn about our church.
All right, the scripture that came to mind that I wanted to share with you is Psalm 115 and verse 1, and it says this: "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, for the sake of your steadfast love, for the sake of your faithfulness." And that's just kind of a verse that I think we need to go back to again and again. It's not to us. And he repeats it: not to us, O Lord, but it's to your name be the glory, for the sake of your steadfast love, because of your faithfulness. So as we think of Dave, who has faithfully served this church for 30 years, I know he would want to deflect that, not to me, but to the Lord, because of his faithfulness, because of his steadfast love and for his glory. And so along those lines, I also just want to give another update before I share my testimony, which will also be from that passage. But as you know, we in February began at one of these meetings, or maybe it was March, talking about how we wanted to pay down our debt that we have. We have two loans. Our smaller loan was about $311,000 at that time. And so we prayed about giving extra from some of our reserves that we have, but extra giving. And in those 6 or 7 months, we have that loan through the giving provision of God's people has been paid down from $311,000 to $235,000. And we're expecting a good another set of giving later after this month end giving. And so we just want to say, not to us, O Lord, but to your name be the glory, according to your faithfulness, according to your truth, if in your love. If we stay on this path by the end of this year, another 3 or 4 months like that, we'll be down into the 100-something range. And our goal and prayer is to pay that loan down. And not only paying it off early will save us, I think, $190,000 just in extra through the year's payments, but it'll also free up $30,000 a year of cash flow that can go into ministry and kingdom work. And so that's continue to pray, but praise the Lord for that. And we're going to continue to pray and keep pursuing that. So again, not to us, O Lord, but to your name be the glory, according to your steadfast love, according to your faithfulness. And that's really what I want to use as a setup for my own testimony. I grew up in a Christian home. As most of you know, my parents are part of this church. I can't remember a time when I wasn't in church. From my earliest, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we were at church. There was one time I fell asleep on the pew and everyone left the church and I was still there and the door got locked and they had to get back in. But I just was always at the church, it seemed like. And I never was an unbeliever, but that doesn't mean I was regenerate. But I never remember disbelieving any truth of Scripture. I heard these things growing up, but in some ways my testimony relates to Mark's and some of yours, that there came a point in my life where I realized that even though I knew and believed all these things, that I was a sinner before a holy God. And actually, when I was about 4 years old, I don't even remember it, but I prayed with my parents, you know, sinner's prayer to receive Christ. At the church tradition we were in, they baptized little ones as soon as they made a profession. So I was baptized, but I was so young, I don't even remember it. And it was around 11 or 12 years old. I don't remember, again, the exact date. But I just, one of the circumstances I remember was we had watched an old film strip. It was called The Burning Hell. It actually wasn't that great of a film, but it impressed upon me the reality that hell is real. And what was impressed upon me that evening was I'm going there. And as I was talking about this morning, God can convict us. And so I'm not saying he spoke in an audible voice, but I was deeply convicted from Scripture, from the truths I knew, in a powerful way that if I died that day, I would go to hell. And I would deserve to be there. And there would be no excuse I could have or anything I could say before God. And again, I'm an 11-year-old. I haven't done you know, a lot of things in my life, but I was just so convicted that I am a sinner, and the fear of God was put upon me. And where does that come from? A lot of 11-year-olds, they never have a thought about that. All I can say is, not to me, oh Lord, not to me, but to your name be the glory. According to your steadfast love, according to your faithfulness, God put the fear of God in me, and I prayed again. I told my parents I need to be saved. And so I prayed to trust the Lord, and they walked me through it. And then the next night I said, Dad, I need to be sure. I'm not sure I really got saved last night. And so we did this. And then I remember my dad telling me, we don't have to keep doing this every night. If you really trusted Christ, you're saved. And so what I did is I kept doing it privately because I was so convinced that I was a sinner. I was so concerned as to whether God could actually save someone like me. And so I didn't have assurance as a young man. And this was even before I got into the teen years and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. This was just, I was convicted as a sinner. And so through my teen years, I believe God was quickening me, awakening me, regenerating me. Was it at that moment or later? It's something I can't pinpoint, but I can only give God the credit and the glory that I would have such a fear of Him in me, in put inside of me. But it was as I grew and as I began to read the Bible more, I think my assurance began to grow. And I remember actually in high school, I had a high school teacher who opened up in our first class the Beatitudes and started talking about what it means to be poor in spirit, what it means to mourn over your sin, what it means to hunger and thirst for righteousness that you don't have, who it is that's going to inherit the earth. And for the first time, I don't know that I was saved right then, but for the first time, I think assurance began to come that that's exactly me. I know I don't deserve anything. I'm bankrupt. All I can do is beg for grace. I'm hungering and thirsting for what I don't have. And so that was one of those dramatic moments. I don't even remember the name of this teacher, but it was a Bible teacher in our Christian high school in the Philippines. And I just remember that gave me hope that that's actually me. That's who Jesus says is going to heaven. And so that I began to have assurance when I went to college. Also just learning good, sound doctrine, understanding the doctrines of grace, understanding regeneration and all of that. The Lord grew my faith over time. But as I look back on all that, all I can do is just looking at how God brought me into a Christian home. God, you know, had me around such godly influences. God planted me and my wife in a great church when we were married and had people speaking truth into our lives. But as we really began to grow and understand doctrine more, it was almost like I was born again. And some of you can relate to that. There's these places where your growth just takes off, and being in a church like we have here, having that fellowship was a huge part of that. But I look back on all that, and all I can do is just say, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Because of your steadfast love, because of your faithfulness. And God has been so faithful in my life, my wife, my kids. We have 5 children. Ella, our oldest, is married to Caleb, and so our family has grown. Betty Jo, my mother-in-law in the back there, lives with us on our property in her own place. And my parents love the Lord. All my siblings love the Lord. Lisa, my sister, is also here with Ethan. They got a bunch of little ones running around. And I'm just so, so thankful. Again, not to me, not to us, but to God's name be the glory. He's faithful. Amen.
Thanks, brother. Phil, can I ask you a question? Sure. That was so fast. You have 4 more minutes. So we get to have some fun. Do you have any hobbies?
Not really.
Next question.
I like to play Ultimate Frisbee with my kids. I like to do things with them. So when I was younger, I did things like fishing. Basketball was a big part of my life. I still try to exercise, but Ultimate Frisbee, we play at Lotus Park. That's something the whole family can do. And so at this stage of life, trying to do more things with my kids.
Phil, can you And when was the last time you dunked a basketball? On a 10-foot hoop.
I've done it since the pandemic started, but I don't remember exactly when that was.
Nice.
But I don't think I have this year, sadly.
Okay, so since January. Okay, all right. Let us know. Give us an update when you
I'll keep you posted.
You
can pray for that, actually.
Any other questions for Pastor Phil? How old are you, Pastor Phil?
47.
Nice.
Yep. I'm just getting older.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions? Oh, Kyle. Ooh, favorite dessert.
Wow. I like all desserts. I mean, tiramisu is really good. Cake, you know, cheesecake. But there's probably about 20 that could be on that list. God is good.
Is there any foods you don't like?
There's some foods I don't love, but I pretty much like every really? Food. Yeah. I think there is one I don't like.
Durian?
Ella? Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh.
I had them for about 3 years in a row, and I just stopped.
This is strange.